You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Keep Seeking Him.
God's reward them that diligently seek. And then diligence also means persistent exertion of body or mind. Persistent exertion of body or mind. Can I tell you? To be diligent means you got to push past fatigue. To be diligent means you got to do it when you don't feel like doing it. To be diligent means you got to get up when you don't want to get up and stay up when you want to go to sleep. To be diligent means you got to go places you may not feel like going. Come on now. Be diligent means you're going to have to tell this body what we're going to do. Diligent, persistent exertion of body or mind. Body or mind means sometimes you're going to have to think and get your brain involved in this. Sometimes you have to think your way clear. Come on. You can't afford, men are always to pray and not faint. Faint means to give up, cave in, and quit. And sometimes long before we do that physically, we do it mentally. We just kind of check out. I can't handle this. No, you can handle it. I can't think about it. No, I got to think about this. Come on. I have the mind of Christ. God's going to give me an answer. God's going to give me strategy. But I'm going to have to exercise some diligence. So God delights in us seeking him. But not just seeking him. He delights in us diligently seeking him. So to diligently seek him means to keep on seeking him. Can I tell you, you don't outgrow or age out of the need to seek the Lord. See, because some of us, we sought the Lord when we were struggling financially. Some of us sought the Lord in the early days of our marriage. Some of us, we sought the Lord when we were just starting our business. Some of us, we sought the Lord while we were in college. Well, no, you didn't. Bad example. We was not seeking the Lord. Okay? Some of us, we sought the Lord when you start your business. You sought the Lord when you were unemployed and needed a job. You sought the Lord when you were under your bills and under debt and things are better now. And you think you don't need to seek the Lord anymore. And the word to you today is God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So you're going to have to keep seeking him. Look at somebody again. Tell them keep seeking him. So you don't outgrow and you don't age out of the need to seek the Lord. And sometimes God even allows us to be in a grim, dark, and scary place just so we will continue to seek him. Oh, yeah. God, Lord, don't you know what I'm going through? Yes, and I'm right here with you. Come on. Keep on walking. I believe in Psalms 12, it says, to the righteous, light always arises in darkness. But sometimes in order for the light to rise, you got to keep walking in the darkness. You got to walk to a place until you see some light. Come on now. You can't afford to give up, cave in, and quit. So sometimes God allows us to be in a grim, dark, and scary place just so we can continue to seek him, express our need to him. David says in Psalm 56 and 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. Sometimes God will let you be in scary places just so you can trust in him. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Has anybody ever physically seen God's rod? Has anybody physically seen God's staff? No, but I got faith as I walk through. There's a rod and there's a staff that's fighting for me. Come on. That is defending me against my enemies. That's telling the devil to back up. This is mine. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. Come on, let's look more at this text. Hebrews 11 and 6. That first point, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is the acknowledgement of God's existence. Faith is the acknowledgement of God's power. Jesus said, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So faith is the acknowledgement of God's power. Faith is also the acknowledgement Watch this. That we need power, ability, and might greater than our own. A person of faith says, I can't do this by myself. A person of faith says, there's not enough money in the world to cause me to have peace. A person of faith says, yeah, I thank God for my baby, for my boo, for my husband, for my wife, but I need the Lord more than I need them. Oh, come on now. A person of faith says, yes, I'm believing God for a child, and I'm believing God for my business, I'm believing God for a house, but if that never happens, God is still enough for me. Oh, come on now. I know that would challenge you right there. Facing our need for God, for his power, his ability, and his might. Secondly, faith now, because I'm a person of faith, faith demands that I seek God. Faith demands that I seek God. And we often, if the truth be told, we seek everything and everyone else except God. Or we seek everything and everything else before we seek God. There's a song we used to sing years ago in our church back in Jersey City. And it used to say, it bothered me then, but I didn't say nothing. Because you used to just, you know, I listen. I'm a lyricist. I listen to words. I listen to see if these words be making sense. Okay? Y'all know a lot of these songs don't be making sense. Okay? And some of them we found out later when they was making sense and we didn't realize this, we shouldn't have been making that kind of sense. I was kidding. Mama coom, mama come, coom, son, mama coom. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. Me and Mrs. Jones. Thing going on with you Christians singing about adultery because you're not listening to words. Words matter. Lyrics matter, especially if we call ourselves singing to the Lord. Okay, we have to seek everything except God. And so we used to sing these songs that if you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. Oh yes, if you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. Oh, he'll be your everything. Go with you to the end. If you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. Why everything got to fail before you try Jesus? Maybe if you tried Jesus in the beginning, everything would not have failed. Because if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he'll direct your path. But that's what we do. We acknowledge God. We seek God until we find a replacement for him. Glory to God. Pastor Chandler was asking me about somebody, and then we were talking about, I said, Chandler, I said, I know, I said, you know, you've been pastoring as long as I have, and pastors, I said, but this is a common thing. It's a common thing, and especially usually women more than men, okay? It's a common, you women, you love the Lord, you are faithful until you get a man. You was at everything, intercessory prayer, all the sessions, because you love the Lord until Fuquan come along. And then it start with stuff like this. You know, it's more life than church. It's more life than church. But when before you have Fuquan, church was your life. And God was your life. But now you got a man. And either you don't need the Lord or you feel too condemned because what you're doing with Fuquan to come to church. And I'm telling you, come on up here with your fornicating self. Come on up here with the rest of the fornicators. You're going to be delivered as you sit under the word. No, I'm not being funny right now. Preachers used to say dumb stuff to people like, you're fornicating and coming up in here. You're committing adultery. Yes, we need you to come on up in here so this word can change you and you can renew your mind. You're not going to get any better by running from God. I want you to come up in here. And so I've seen people, they seek God until they get a man. Some people seek God for a job until they get a job. Now they're so busy working the job, they can't come to church. And that ain't the God kind of job. The God kind of job is enough to live, enough to give, enough to come to church, enough to serve. And if you're married, enough that you still got energy to make love to your husband or wife. Y'all don't come to marriage arithmetic, so I got to teach stuff when I got to teach it. I'm sorry, baby. You know, I work hard. You better work at this. Because somebody might be willing to put the work in. Then wake up with your tired self. Go to Dr. Dennis and say, Doc, I'm tired all the time. What you got? Y'all laughing, but I'm serious. You're not supposed to be married. The Bible said you're not supposed to be defrauding each other. And it don't say why. You're supposed to regularly come together and have communion. And not just on the first Sunday. Because often as you do it, boy, I just got some new revelation. You do it in remembrance of me. Glory to God. That's some good revelation right there. See, I'm going to write and divide this word. And some of y'all look at me mad right now. It's so obvious. It is so obvious. You ain't got none, ain't doing nothing. That's why you're looking at me mad. I don't care. I'm preaching a word to you. Where? Who else going to tell you? Sitting there rolling your eyes at me all mad. Go to the doctor. Work out. Sometimes you got to talk to each other. I'm tired, but you ain't, are you? Whoever ain't tired, get to working. Because somebody got to be working up in this house. Yes, sir, I'm preaching this morning. Somebody got to be working. Let all the married folks say amen. Amen. Now, let me say something to you single people. That's part of your responsibility when you get married. I just need somebody to go to the mall with me. I just need somebody to talk to me. You need more than that. I remember somebody getting married. They said they were single. They told me, when I get married, I ain't gonna be doing that all the time. You better stay single. Everybody say diligence. Don't worry, I didn't get off. I'm still talking about diligence. Put some effort behind that thing. Right? We ought to seek everyone. How I started that is that sometimes we're seeking God until we get in a relationship. Till you start get a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Now you don't seek God. You can't come to prayer anymore. You don't fast anymore. You're not faithful to the things of God because you got something to replace him. And some of y'all think it's money. Some of you think you got enough money, you don't need God. Can I tell you, this money will lie to you. Money will tell you you're secure, and then something will happen that your money can't pay for. That song that they sing at the traditional funeral, I'll fly away, oh glory, fly away. Money wrote that song. We often seek everything and everyone except seeking God. Go to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. God wants us to seek him. Isaiah 30, starting in verse 1. It says, woe to the rebellious children. To what children? Rebellious. Well, why are they rebellious, says the Lord? That take counsel, but not of me. And they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Now, the Lord first gave me this scripture. I believe it has so many applications to so many of us and where you are in your life and how this applies to you. But the Lord first gave me this application when we were down on River Drive, and we were believing God for the building there on St. Andrews Road. And the owner told me that he would not finance it. And so I got everything together, and he said, well, go talk to my bank. And we went and talked to the bank, and we presented everything to him. Our church at the time, this is around the year 2000, our church is 4 years old, trying to get a building that would cost $850,000. Banks wouldn't touch us. Okay, they don't understand. You know, I didn't come from a traditional denomination, didn't have a large denomination backing me. Banks wouldn't touch us. They wouldn't, you know. And then at one point they said, "Well, give me your top 10 members and let us do background checks and credit checks on all of them and let them sign." I said, "I'm not doing that." And so I would, and God said to me, and I was going to the banks and trying to look at bank and looking up, and the Lord said to me, and he showed me this scripture. He said, you take counsel, but not of me. See, you doing what other people tell you to do, but you don't ask what I want you to do. You taking everybody else's advice, but you didn't seek how I want to do this for you. Can I tell you, God is still a creator. God will create new ways to do things just for you to let everybody say, I'm the one who did this. And it may not be they even have something, even in financing, they got a conventional loan. Okay? A conventional loan is when your credit score is at a certain level, and you put down 20%, and your debt to income ratio, everything balances out, and that's just a regular or ordinary, and they can do it. They can do a conventional loan. In other words, just routine kind of thing. And then some people got some special kind of circumstances. Your credit ain't right. You don't have the down payment. You got a bank. You got a foreclosure in your background. You don't file bankruptcy, and you're trying to get a $800,000 house. Now we got to get inventive. Now we got to get creative, and they may do different things like get two mortgages. Come on now. If you could do this, they'll do this. In other words, there is a way for it to be done. It may not be conventional. And God said, every time you want to do so, you're always looking for conventional ways. When you look for a car, well, a conventional way, I got to go down and sit in the booth and pray in tongues. Lord, please let me be approved. And God said, have you ever asked, since you need a car, and the last thing you need is a payment. You don't need a car. I mean, you don't need a payment. You need a car. Oh, come on now. I'm trying to help somebody. You don't need a payment. You need a car. But your mind says, I can't get a car without a payment. And God said, that's no why. Because you won't diligently seek me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If that's what you need, now when you live up where I came from in Jersey City and New York, you don't need a car. My daughter's car sits in our driveway. She wanted to bring it to New York City. I keep begging her, and so far it's been about 4 or 5 years. I convinced her, she said, Dad, I didn't want to bring my car. I said, you do not want to bring your car up to New York City with offside parking and all this kind of stuff. When it's snow, you can't have your car here. You got to move it there, where everywhere you go, you know, you got to pay for parking. I said, you don't want to do that. But down here in these Carolinas, as the people say, you need a car. And if you need a car, and God knows you need a car, why don't you seek God for a car? Now, I know I'm stretching you right now. God said, I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. So it's all right. Now, God, you know and I know that I don't need a payment. I need a car. Because even if they do approve it, okay, they're approving based upon what's on the credit report. And that depends on which one they look at. But you know, in addition to the credit report, you owe Mama and Uncle Ben. Come on. Your tithe don't show on a credit report. They don't consider your tithe in your debt to income ratio. Are y'all listening to me? They don't consider your pledge and that you made to this project. So you need to seek the Lord. Look at somebody, say, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. So God said, you run down, look at this. He said, you take covering, you get protection, whether through credit or somebody you know or some type of natural means, and you may add sin to sin. You're just making things worse. Verse 2, he said, you walk down to Egypt, and Lord, this is what the Lord showed me. Egypt represents the world system. You do things the world's way. This is how you, well, in order to start a business, I got to have so many investors. In order to start a business, I got to have this business plan. In order to start a business, I got to fill out an application and get a loan. Can I tell you, God said, you're going down to Egypt. You're always seeking my way. And there's a way I want to do things. Nobody going to get the glory. Nobody going to get the credit but me, which is why the Lord didn't let me win that, what I thought was going to be a settlement. And then I'm going to start the ministry with the settlement I got from a corporate job. And God said, no, that ain't going to be my way. I'm going to let you start with nothing. Close. I'm going to let you start when you're in debt. I'm going to let you start when you have nothing. I'm going to let you start when your credit's messed up. And everybody's going to see, this is the Lord's doing, because I sought the Lord and he heard me. Is anybody getting this? So you go down to Egypt, world system. He said, you never asked in my mouth. You never asked in my mouth. You try to strengthen yourself in the strength of Pharaoh, the world system, world's way of doing things, and a trust in the shadow of Egypt. You think that's protection for you. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Come on, we can relate to that. Things that we did trying to help ourselves, trying to move ourselves forward, and it wasn't God's way to do it. Whether it's about money or relationship or house or job or moving here or moving there. And we never sought the Lord. In the natural, it looked like this was going to work out just right. In Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11, I'm not going to read it. But Solomon says, man, I tried. I sought everything except God. He says, I sought pleasure, I sought wine, I sought women. In case y'all don't remember, Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines. For those who don't know what a concubine is, that's a side chick. And he had 300 of them. With no Viagra and no Cialis. 700. He said, I sought women. When you read it, he says, I sought all kinds of food. He said, I was a foodie too. What? Watch it. He goes on to say, if you read it, he said, I made myself pools. Somebody said, man, if I just get a pool in my house, my trouble's going to be over. He said, I made pools. He said, I had servants. He sought knowledge and wisdom, all type of natural resources. And at the end of the day, he said, know what? It was all vanity. It meant nothing. I had everything naturally that a man could desire. And what I could conceive of in my mind, I would have it made and created and built. And yet I said, it's meaningless. Vanity, vexation of spirit, it doesn't satisfy my soul. And there was no profit under the sun. So what he realized, I got to seek the Lord. I got to seek the Lord. And just because you acknowledge God's existence doesn't mean that you really seek him. That's as far as I'm going to get today. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek.
God delights in us seeking him and getting his divine direction for our lives. As believers, our desire to seek him should never stop. Bishop Herbert Bailey explains the promises in seeking God. Order this powerful 4-part series today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order, keep seeking him. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.